Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We've been talking with John Sinclair, a professional in health information management systems. And we've been talking about how technology can help us with our wait times in Canada. So tell us, how does Noveri software help reduce these wait times? This is your company? This is your software?
Yeah, we're a Canadian company based in beautiful, although snowy today, Kingston, Ontario. With clients that are scattered across the country. These are hospitals and health authorities and provincial governments. And, we just try to bring some common sense, if you will, to the whole process of how patients get into the healthcare system and how they navigate through the healthcare system. So you go see your primary care physician, and that doctor needs to refer you to another doctor or to a clinic. We can show them in our software all of the available sleep labs or diabetes clinics, or orthopedic surgeons, or dermatologists, or mental health providers in their community. They can see the wait time for each of those options. So often the primary care doctors, at no fault of their own, aren't even aware of all of the options open to patients. So we show them all the options. We show them their wait times. And by the way, not only the wait time to see the surgeon, but how about the wait time if you see the surgeon and you go on to surgery? So that whole continuum of care, that whole patient journey, we show that to the primary care physician up front to say, doc, you can send the patient to these six physicians, these six surgeons. Here are their wait times to be seen. And if you're seen, here's the wait time to go on to surgery. And then they can electronically route that referral to that individual clinic or hospital or physician who then can electronically accept the referral. And if the patient does proceed to surgery, and not all do, but those that go on to surgery, they can then manage those patients on a wait list, a color-coded wait list, showing which patients are more urgent than others, who's waited longer, how have they been triaged, are they ready to go for surgery or not ready to go for surgery, and any other issues around each of those individual cases. They can see their operating schedule, their calendar, and they can drag and drop patients off of their wait list onto a calendar, and then they can submit that down to the local hospital where they perform their surgical procedures. In other words, no patient falls through the cracks, and it allows the province to set wait time targets. So the target might be no patient waits longer than 6 months for a hip or knee replacement. Well, if that's the case, our software would show a physician's office when a patient on their wait list is approaching that six-month target. And they'll say, hey, physician, your office needs to book John for his surgical procedure. And so that whole process can just be not quite automated, but we can bring order to it and use technology to reduce wait times and improve access to care.
I can't believe that this isn't being used all across Canada right now. What jurisdictions are using Noveri software?
So a lot is happening in Canada, actually, just in the last few years in this regard. So it's widely used in the province of Ontario, although not everywhere. Parts of Nova Scotia, parts of Manitoba, and there's been interest, a lot of interest actually, in Western Canada. So we're getting there. But as I said earlier, change comes slowly to healthcare, and there are lots of really good people working on this. The individual physicians, the folks at the health authority level, the regional health people are working hard in this area. And I would also add that the ministries of health too understand the issues. We're getting into a little bit today, but there's layers and layers of complexity to it. So there's lots of good people doing lots of good things. It's just it's a complicated thing, and Noveri's piece is just one piece of a bigger puzzle.
What does a bigger puzzle look like?
Well, there's a whole issue of how you move patients through the hospital, right? So in order to do surgeries, you need beds for patients. So when they come out of their surgery, they have a bed to go to. But if you've got patients in those beds currently that might need to be discharged to go to a long-term care facility, a rehab facility, a complex continuing care facility, or a palliative care facility, if those patients can't be moved out because there's a blockage further downstream, that all backs up. And that's the same reason, frankly, why we have wait times in our emergency rooms and our ER departments.
Mm. How easy is it to move patients across provincial lines for surgery or other treatments?
Sorry, I didn't quite hear the question.
I was just wondering, like, is it okay, or is it, can you move in faster if you come from another province? Is it okay to move patients across the provincial lines?
So I think that's done on rare occasion in Canada. I know that in Europe, they had a policy in some of the countries, I believe Germany, that said if you couldn't get your surgery within X amount of time, that you had the right to leave, and the government would pay for it elsewhere. So if you lived in Germany, you could go to France or to Denmark or somewhere. And what they found is that most patients were reluctant to actually travel. They would prefer to wait as opposed to travel to get their procedures. So I know that does happen, but I don't think it happens very often in Canada.
Okay. How about transplant wait times? Is there any rules around that, or is it quite extended?
Yeah, so I'm uncomfortable answering that question because that's a very specialized field, and I'm really, that's sort of out of my wheelhouse. So I'll take a pass on that question because I really wouldn't want to give any information that I wasn't familiar with.
Okay. How about the universities in Ontario that are teaching the doctors right now? Are they starting to learn the Novari software program?
They are. We certainly see with the younger physicians, when they come out of medical school and they begin to practice, they expect technology like this to be.
Absolutely. I mean, they're born in that generation.
They are. And, I will say, though, that we've got some 75- and 80-year-old physicians using the technology and doing so very well. So, but certainly, coming out of medical school, the younger physicians, they just assume that this type of stuff already exists, and they're not willing to settle for the fax machine and, really 1980s technology. So they're much quicker to adopt. So I think it's certainly trending the right way.
Great. John, how long have you been working on this software program?
We've been in business since 2003. It actually started off as a project inside of Kingston General Hospital, a teaching hospital in Ontario. And it was a project inside the hospital that then morphed off and was eventually commercialized and is now a thriving high-tech business focusing exclusively on this issue, on access to care. And we've just opened an office in Sydney, Australia, and our technology is creating jobs and helping patients get into the healthcare system faster. So it's kind of a win-win.
That's exciting. So you've already gone international.
We have.
Well, it'll sure be nice when it's all the way across Canada as well. What were you in before you came into the software technology?
I'm sorry.
What kind of work did you do before you came into the software technology?
So I worked in the technology field outside of healthcare. I actually worked in the U.S., I had lots of American employees, so I was rather familiar with the U.S. healthcare system. And then this opportunity came up, and it allowed me to live where I wanted to live, was on a small lake in cottage country, and still work in high tech. And at the time, I thought, wow, it was a smaller company at the time back in the day. There wouldn't be as much travel. And now what I found out is I'm flying back and forth between Australia and Canada and going coast to coast. It's not unusual for me to be in Vancouver on Monday and Tuesday to be in Halifax and Wednesday to be in Toronto. So it was a personal decision. I have to say we have a great team here. A lot of former hospital employees, and all of us have our own healthcare stories, right? So we work in healthcare, although on the vendor side.
Right.
At the end of the day, we're all patients.
Yeah. How many of the provinces have you done seminars with and got interested in this?
So we're bound by confidentiality agreements.
Okay.
So I can't get into specifics, but I will tell you that we have been engaged by a vast majority, a strong majority of the provincial ministries of health, both on the e-referral side, so how you get from primary care to even get to see a specialist, and then when you see a specialist, your wait time for a surgical procedure.
Okay, so you're giving us hope in the healthcare system.
Pardon me?
I say you're giving us hope in the healthcare system.
Yes, we are.
That's great. There's lots of people with long wait times. I, with How do we compare to other countries with things like the cataracts, the hips, the knees? Are we fairly efficient just in those things, the everyday kind of stuff?
Well, you know, what's interesting is that different countries have different rates. And the way it's measured is how many, let's say, knee replacements are done on a per capita basis per 100,000 people. And there's quite a big variation there. It's kind of a list where you want to be right in the middle of the pack. It's possible that you're doing too many hip replacements or too many cataract procedures or what have you. It's also possible that you're doing too few. So some countries, because of their healthcare system, are performing too few procedures clinically, and some are performing perhaps too many. The classic example of too many in most reports is the United States. And you can imagine, because of their reimbursement model, surgeons are paid when they do procedures. So when you go see a surgeon in the United States, that physician has an economic incentive to look at your knee, look at your hip, and advance you to surgery. In Canada, if we look at orthopedic surgeons in most parts of the country, have wait lists. And so whether you go on to surgery or don't go on to surgery is really not going to impact their pocketbook. They already have a wait list. And so we're actually in a better place than the Americans in that regard.
Oh, good. So if you have, do our Canadian doctors, do they try and hold you off till as old as you can be, really? Like if they think the hips or knees only last maybe a decade or 15 years, they try and hold you off. Is that true?
Yes. They know the lifetime, the lifespan of the implants that they're using. I think Canadian surgeons, they're well-trained. They have your best interest at heart. And sometimes, not having surgery is the right decision. Sometimes postponing your surgery is the right decision. There actually is a benefit to having some wait time. One of the benefits is that it allows the patient to reflect, do I really want to have surgery? And allows them to get their life in order so that when they come home, all the right pieces are in place. In the United States, you can go see a surgeon on Monday and have your surgery on Wednesday. That's not the case in Canada, and that's not the case in most other countries, nor should that be the case. There should be a time to reflect on elective, not emergency, surgical mm-hmm. procedures.
Okay. John Sinclair, it's been great talking to you and learning more about our healthcare system and all the work that you're doing in it with your software. Do you have anything to add? We're just about done.
I don't, Kathy. Thank you. It's been enjoyable talking to you, and I enjoy your show.
Okay. Thanks so much.